Amen. Thank you, Brother Charles. Grateful for grace. You know, we have much to be thankful for in this life, don't we, church? You know, I'm very thankful for this season because it reminds us to consistently, consciously express our gratitude for those things that often go unmentioned. I encourage you, don't rush past this week to Christmas. Some of you I know have already started Christmas music. My wife is in that heathen camp. There's not a ton I can do with her in regards to that, but I know some of you share her beliefs in that, and we'll try to look past it. But all things considered, I want to encourage you, don't rush past this week. Don't rush past the time that we have to set aside to be thankful for those things that God has given us. You know, human tendency is this, that the more familiar something becomes, the less it is felt and the less then it is appreciated. And this is when we begin to take things for granted. This is when foundations begin to slip. You know, last week we considered being grateful for the cross. This week I want us to talk about being grateful for grace. Let me start by giving you a definition of what grace is. Grace is simply undeserved kindness. Undeserved kindness. Now, it's really interesting when you look at how grace is mentioned in the scriptures. The Bible mentions grace 170 times in 159 different verses. But of those 170 times, 127 of those times are mentioned in the books of Acts to Revelation, meaning those books that are explicitly written about and to the church is where we find 75% of all mentions of grace in the Bible. When you consider grace and the books written to the church, the epistles, 16 of the 21 New Testament epistles open with a greeting of grace. Church, this is why the age in which we live is called the age of grace. Because it is in this age that God has explicitly decided to pour out His undeserved kindness, His unmerited favor on us. You know, we live in an age of grace, but if you're anything like me, sometimes we have trouble seeing God's grace. Sometimes we have trouble bringing it into perspective. It's kind of like a camera. You know, life can get out of focus. And when life gets out of focus, it doesn't mean that the image isn't there. It just means I can't see it like I need to. You know, sometimes life can get out of focus for us and we go through hardships and trials. And hey, it doesn't mean that God's grace isn't there. It just means that perhaps I'm not able to see it like I need to. You know, also like a camera, perhaps, you know, it wouldn't take a whole lot for something to block that camera in the back. All it would take would be for Don to stand up, maybe hold up a clipboard, and a tiny little clipboard could block out everything that people on the other side of that camera desire to see. You know, sometimes in life, it simply is that things come into our lives, and it's not that God's grace doesn't exist. It's not that God's undeserved kindness isn't poured out upon us. It's that simply things in life block our view. You know, sometimes too, not only do we have trouble seeing God's grace, many of us have trouble appreciating God's grace. You know, God's grace is undeserved kindness. When I was growing up, we had in church, his name was Mr. Fred Lawson. He's with the Lord. But we all affectionately knew him as the Candy Man. The Candy Man. Because he always had peppermints. And I remember as a kid, you know, the first time he sought me out, went to shake my hand and slipped a peppermint in it. And oh man, the face lights up. No way, this is too good to be true. Woo! But what happens before long, I'm going up to Mr. Fred, and I'm not going like this. I'm going like this. Hold on, because that's how some of us treat grace. You know, it is an undeserved kindness that God pours out on us. But sometimes we have trouble seeing it. Sometimes we have trouble appreciating it because we have come to expect it as something owed to us. And so this moment, for a few minutes, I want us to stop and just think, grateful for grace. Why can we be grateful for grace? The grace that He so richly pours upon us. Consider with me, number one, this morning, why we should be grateful for grace. Roman numeral one, if you're taking notes, consider with me the reach of grace. The reach of grace. You know, the amazing thing about the grace of God is that it is available to whoever you are. I want you to let that sink in. The amazing thing about the grace of God is that it is available to whoever you are. In other words, the grace of God reaches all the way to you. Because, hold on, if we had to reach for it, it would no longer be grace. And so then grace, by definition, reaches all the way to you. For grace to be grace, it must be unearned. For grace to be grace, it must be undeserved. For grace to be grace, it must be unmerited. Paul puts it this way in Romans 11 in verse number 6. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more works. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, if I have to reach for it, if I have to earn it, if I have to deserve it, in even the smallest sense, it's not grace anymore. You see, that's the amazing thing about grace, is it reaches all the way to me. And as I consider the amazing reach of God's grace, you know what that means? That means no one is beyond His grace. That means no one is beyond His grace. That means no one is beyond His grace. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, beginning in verse number 8, for by grace, by undeserved kindness, are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we consider this morning salvation. You and I don't get good in order to get God. We receive God, and by His grace, He makes us good. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift. Grace is a gift that God has made available to you. And the only thing you can do with a gift is receive it. Is receive it or reject it. But hear me, grace is not just a gift. Grace is a person. You know, we saw in our opening scripture, John 1 in verse number 14, the Bible said this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse number 17 says this, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. Oh, grace is a gift. Grace is found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the good news this morning is that God's undeserved kindness is available to whoever you are. But you say, preacher, you don't know who I am. I don't need to, because I know who He is. But preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to, because I know what He's done. And if grace had any due to it, it wouldn't be grace. If you had to reach for it, it wouldn't be grace. Grace is undeserved kindness. You see, the Bible is very clear that since you and I could not come to Him, He came to us. The Bible is very clear that because the wage of our sin is death, He died that you might live. And then the good news this morning is no one is beyond His grace. And there are some this morning and you think, well, I don't deserve it. You're getting it now. You don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. Oh, and His grace is available to whoever you are. And that's why it's amazing. That's why it's amazing. The reach of His grace. Oh, consider with me, church, those people in your life who you are burdened for, those people in your life who you pray for, desire. Hey, no one is beyond the reach of His grace. Keep on praying. Keep on loving. Keep on sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, because no one is beyond the reach of His grace. Oh, church, as I consider the reach of His grace, we need to understand not only is no one beyond His grace, but this is a good one, no one is better than His grace either. You see, not only is the grace of God available to whoever you are, but whoever you think you are is only by His grace. You know, sometimes we come to the Savior and we understand that it's all by grace. It's by grace through faith, not of ourselves, not of works. You notice how many times that verse reminds us over and over and over again, you ain't have nothing to do with it. But somehow we get the idea in our head that somewhere along the line, because we make certain decisions, that we contribute to what I am today. No, who you think you are today is only by His grace. But I bought a suit. But I have come to church faithfully for X number of years. But I serve on the board. But I give X amount of money. But I baked cookies. But I did this. But what we're really saying is, but I don't look that way. But I don't smell that way. But I don't put that in my body. You see, what we're really saying is, because we feel we're better than other people because of decisions we have made. Can I tell you the thing about God's grace? Not only is God's grace available to whoever you are, but God's grace is available to, or God's grace is the whole reason for who you think you are. You consider the most incredible Christian of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. And you look at his testimony, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10. He said this, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Paul says what? Everything I am is because of His grace. Oh, Ephesians chapter 2, we looked at verses 8 and 9. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it doesn't stop there. It says, we are His workmanship. In other words, even everything we are after salvation is because His grace still works on me. Oh, I am what I am by the grace of God. You know what this means? It means we like to think we are making something of ourselves in the process. Oh, but the reality is, I am what I am by the grace of God alone. By the grace of God alone. You know, it's like the kids growing up, from time to time, they talk about what they have and what they have done. And there have been some times in my parenting life that I don't respond to such boasting or such claims well. There was one occasion in particular where the child was talking about his toy or her toy and what they were going to do with it because it belonged to them and it was of them. And I took the occasion to let them know, no. All you are is of me. The clothes you wear, that's of me. The toy you hold in your hand, that's of me. The bed you're going to sleep on tonight, that's of me. The food you're going to eat later, that's of me. And if it weren't for my good grace, you'd be sleeping outside naked. And I shouldn't have gone that far, but I did. I said, you'd be sleeping outside naked, but the grass you'd be laying on would still belong to me. And, you know, sometimes God taps us on the shoulder and says, because the reality is, everything I am is of Him, is of His grace. Everything I am is of Him. This means I'm not better than anyone else. Romans 12 and verse number 13 says, for I say through the measure of grace given unto me, that every man that is among you not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man a measure of faith. I'm going to tell you, here's the thing about amazing grace. It is amazing because it reaches me. It's amazing because it reaches you. Oh, there is none beyond the grace of God. There is none better and the grace of God, the reach of grace. Aren't you grateful for grace this morning? Consider with me not only the reach of grace, but consider with me, if you would, the resilience of grace. The resilience of grace. We can kind of sum this up this way. Not only is grace available to whoever you are, but grace is available wherever you are. Grace is available wherever you are. You know, we put our faith in a lot of things. I think often unintentionally we put our faith in a lot of things. And the thing about things in this life, though, is that they will disappoint and they will let us down. You think about how fast the world changes. Man, how fast has the world changed over the last 2 years? Things that if you'd asked me in November 2019 if they would be possible, like possible in my lifetime, I'd have said probably not. And yet less than 2 years later, they're right in front of us because this world changes fast. And how many of us have been upended by how fast this world has changed or unsettled by how fast this world has changed? And you think of the things in the world that change. You think of the things in life that change. You think about how jobs change. And that job that you put so much confidence in for X number of years, and you think about how that situation changed. You think about how relationships change, and that person that has been so close, and that person that's meant so much, and as life changes, things change, and that which we had really found security in is no longer there. You think about even how our goals and our perspectives and how life changes. You think about how we change. Think about how we change. You know, even in the silly little ways, my waist will probably change over the next couple of weeks. Looking forward to Thanksgiving, amen. I think the sin of gluttony is temporarily put on hold in the spiritual realm, but it's going to be good times. My parents asked me what kind of pound cake I wanted. I said, yes. They gave me options, and I just simply said, yes. Oh, it's going to be good. It's going to be so good. But you think about how even we change, and you think about we put so much into the things of this world, but the things of this world, the people of this world, the positions of this world, the powers of this world, they will disappoint us and they will let us down. Things change, but God doesn't change. God doesn't change. Malachi 3 in verse number 6, he said, I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God doesn't change. He's what we call immutable, meaning that he is he does not change. He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. As you consider God and his grace, God's grace is an anchor that keeps us tethered and secure in the storms of life. God's grace is an anchor that keeps us tethered and secure in the crazy storms of life. Look, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, the Bible says this, but the God of all grace, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To understand this morning that the God of all grace, he is with you in the storm. Hebrews 13 and verse number 9. The Bible says, be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. You know, there's a lot in this life that's going to fail you. You know, things in this life will fail you unintentionally. There's so much in this life that will fail you, but God's grace will not fail you. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. But God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. God is able to make all grace abound to you. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse number 9, Paul wrote, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. God's grace will not fail you. Darrell, we're praying for your family. And I know things seem stormy, but God's grace will not fail you. God's grace will not fail you. Miss Mary, God's grace will not fail you. God's grace will not fail you. And I tell you, sometimes we just want out of it. We just want to stop hurting. We just want the pain to go away. We just want the problem to cease. You know, God's grace doesn't always take us out of it. It doesn't. But God's grace will always see you through it. And we find each moment of each day that it will see us through. You know, I don't know your struggle this morning. I know many things that folks are facing, and I know that there are silent hurts, and I know there are things that weigh us. We would never breathe them out loud to another soul, but they weigh our souls down. Here's the thing about the grace of God, though. It is an anchor for our souls. There is a resilience to the grace of God. God's grace doesn't fail in sickness. God's grace doesn't fail in death. God's grace doesn't fail in strained relationships. God's grace doesn't fail in financial trouble. God's grace doesn't fail in job insecurity. God's grace doesn't fail with baggage and burdens. God's grace doesn't fail. And what I want this morning for us to see, the resilience of God's grace, not only that it reaches to whoever we are, but it reaches to wherever we are. And some people today who are hurting and feel like they've been beaten around and tossed by the seas of life, to be able to look to the cross and say, I've got an anchor in God's grace. Got an anchor that I can rest in, and I can rely on His grace. In church this morning, I'm grateful for the resilience of God's grace. Oh, the reach of God's grace, that it reaches to whoever I am. The resilience of God's grace, that it reaches to wherever I am. And I'll tell you, here's the great thing. That includes self-made problems. You know, how often do I find I'm my own worst enemy? And I find myself in a pickle because I've done dumb things. I find myself in a pickle because I've done sinful things. But the grace of God is available even there. And if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The resilience of grace. Grateful for grace this morning, aren't you, church? I'm grateful for the reach of grace, that it reaches to whoever you are. I'm grateful for the resilience of grace, that it reaches to wherever you are. I want you to consider with me finally this morning, not just the reach, not just the resilience, but also the reason for grace. You know, we have seen what grace is. Grace is undeserved kindness. But I think this morning we need to end our study by not just seeing what grace is, but looking at what grace does. And as we consider what grace does, let me give you a little bit of a different definition to what grace does. Now, don't confuse what grace is with what grace does. Grace is undeserved kindness, meaning it reaches me, I don't reach up to it. But what grace does, we'll call that divine enablement. In other words, grace not only reaches to whoever you are, and grace not only reaches to wherever you are, but grace, God's grace, is too great to leave you there. Because God's grace reaches to wherever you're going. You know, often in the Bible we find that mercy and grace are paired together. But mercy and grace are not the same. Mercy is that not getting of that negative consequence we do deserve. In other words, it's when my kids do wrong and they deserve to have the rod of correction applied to the seat of instruction. But for whatever reason, there is mercy, and that which is deserved does not take place. It's mercy. The withholding of the negative consequence that is deserved. Grace, then, on the other hand, is that positive getting or obtaining of that blessing that we do not deserve. It is unmerited, undeserved kindness. But hear me, church, grace is given for a reason. Grace is given for a reason. God's grace isn't given to us just so we can have warm fuzzies and go home. God's grace is given to us for a reason. God's grace is given to us for growth. God's grace is given to us for growth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18 admonishes us to grow in grace. To grow in grace. Titus chapter 2 beginning in verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And then what does that grace do? In verse number 12, it teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So what is it that teaches us and causes us to look for the Lord? Verse number 11, it is grace. Grace is given to us for growth. Let me give you a couple of thoughts about growth. Number one, growth is about potential. Potential. You know, potential is that which we know is possible, but not yet possessed. I think about when the kids go to the doctors for their checkups and how much they've grown in the year. And you kind of ask the doctor, well, how tall do you think they're going to be? Because that's the point of growth, right? It's to try to realize what that full potential looks like. You know, as we talk about potential, I remind us that when somebody says, boy, there's so much potential there, that's not always a compliment. But as we consider potential, every potential good in our lives that's in front of us is God's grace. Every potential good in front of you is of God's grace. And so as we think of our potential and growing in His grace and becoming more like Christ, that's of the grace of God. As we think of the potential of being a more effective witness of our faith, that's of the grace of God. As we think of the potential of our children growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that is of the grace of God. As we think about the potential of our families growing stronger in Christ, that is of the grace of God. As we think about our church growing and edifying, building one another up, that is of the grace of God. Every potential good in front of us is of the grace of God alone. So as we consider grace, we think of potential, but growth is more than just about theoretical potential, because growth is a process. It is a process that you and I go through every day. You know, growth is a very natural process that takes place in living things. Growth is a desired thing. You think about our kids, we want them to grow. We want them to grow. We want them to grow physically. We want them to grow mentally and academically. We want them to grow socially. We want them to grow emotionally. We want them to grow spiritually. We want our kids to grow. In fact, if they stopped growing where they were, I think about, you know, our kids, 7, 9, and 10, we would be concerned, because growth is a natural thing. It is a desired thing. We want the kids to grow. But not only is growth a desired thing, growth can be a difficult thing. You think about babies when they start to learn to walk. That is growth, right? To go from laying there to rolling over to crawling to walking, that's growth. But what happens when they start to learn to walk? They fall down a lot. What happens when they start to learn to walk? We realize that furniture makers did not make furniture with much foresight in mind, because every corner of every table is toddler eye height. And bumps and bruises and all sorts of crazy stuff and a lot of gasps at home. And growth can be difficult. We don't look at the baby who fell and say, get out of here, kid. What's wrong with you? We don't do that. You know, I think about even my kids now, you know, they're fairly tall for their age. I got one in particular who suffers from awful, growth pain. And lay in the bed at night and go, oh, my legs, they hurt, they hurt, they hurt. And I'm like, I know they hurt, but it just means you're growing. Growth is desired, but growth can be difficult. You know, and we want growth until they reach maturity. And in that way, growth is demanded, because they can't stop at 10. They can't stop at 12. They can't stop at the sixth grade. Growth is demanded until they reach maturity. Let me ask you, though, in a spiritual sense, when do we reach maturity? When we get to heaven. So you know what that means for you and I? That we ought to be growing in our lives. That growth ought to be desired. You know, whether we've been at this for 3 years or 30 years, whether we've been a Christian for 6 months or 6 decades, that we ought to have that desire for growth in our lives. Why? Because grace is given for growth. It is that divine enablement that grows us into the image of Christ, that grows us into the potential that God has created in us. It is that divine enablement that does in us what we cannot do for ourselves. And there ought to be a desire for growth. But you know what? Hey, growth is difficult, even in the spiritual sense, because a lot of times we fall down. And it's hard. It's hard to humble ourselves and have somebody help us back up. Sometimes we have growing pains. Oh, but church, I ask, as we consider being grateful for God's grace is given to you for growth. How are you growing in grace today? I'm not asking how you used to grow. I'm not asking how you intend to grow next year, because sometimes we're like, New Year's is right around the corner. We'll just hang on for the last month and a half and we'll start fresh then. No, I'm not asking you about how you intend to grow. How are you growing in grace today? You see, we are called to grow in grace and to think about being grateful for grace, because of grace, I'm not what I was. Amen. Oh, come on, church. Because of grace, I'm not what I was. Amen. Because of grace, I'm also not yet what I'm going to be. Amen. And you know, sometimes the old devil likes to remind us who we were. Next time the devil wants to remind you who you were, you remind him where he's going. You see, because of grace, God doesn't hold me hostage to the mistakes I made in the past. Because of grace, God has given me a way forward. Because of grace, I can be more like him. Because of grace, I can know the fullness of the potential he has created for me because of grace. Oh, but here's the thing. You are growing. But if you're not growing in grace and you're not growing in Christ, you know what? You are still growing, but you're growing cold and you're growing calloused, and chances are you're growing carnally. The reason for grace. Church, we can't have the product without the process. We can't have the product without the process. Embrace, receive grace. Hey, the great news about grace is simply this, that grace is available to whoever you are. God's grace is available to whoever you are. But I don't deserve it. If you did, it wouldn't be grace. Grace is available to whoever you are. Grace is available wherever you are. In the darkest night, in the most severe storm, God's grace is available to you, and it will tether you secure. Just hold on. And church, God's grace is available for wherever we are going. And that's why God's grace is so amazing. It's all of His grace. Aren't you glad we live in the age of grace? Not that God's grace wasn't available in ages past, but God in His wisdom has chosen to illuminate His grace in this age like He has never illuminated His grace before. God's undeserved, unmerited kindness is poured out on us. So much so that when God ended the Bible, when the Holy Spirit was moving those last words of the book of Revelation, when God was breathing out those final words of Scripture to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos, do you know what He left us with? What do you think He left us with? Revelation 22:21. The grace. The grace. He could have left us with anything, but He left us with grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Grateful for grace. But church, don't leave me, because this is where the rubber meets the road. If you miss this, you've missed it. We live in the age of grace, but church, how often do we fail to see it and appreciate it? There's a bigger issue. There's a bigger issue. We live in the age of grace, but the bigger issue is that very often we fail to see that we need it. I fail to see that I need it. I fail to see that I am in desperate need of God's grace presently. Not just for what God has done in the past. Not just for what God has planned in the future. It's all of God's grace. But I stand in desperate need of God's grace today. I cannot be the man I need to be except for God's grace. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I cannot be the pastor I need to be, the parent I need to be, the spouse I need to be. I cannot be the friend that I need to be. I cannot be. I stand in desperate need of God's grace today. Not just past, not just perspective grace, but presence grace. But here's the thing about God's grace. While it is available to whoever you are, and it is available to wherever you are, and it is available to wherever we are going, God's grace only comes to those who know they need it. James chapter 4 and verse number 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let me ask us this morning, when is the last time that we have been confronted with how desperate God's grace? When is the last time that we, as James said, humbled ourselves? The Lord said, Lord, I am in desperate need of undeserved, unearned kindness. Lord, would you meet me where I am? God's grace is available to whoever you are, wherever you are, and wherever you're going. But church, do we realize and are we ready to receive the grace God desires to give us today?